Meet the Sound Backstage Edition.
Soko with First Love Never Die. We're still here in the studio with Yoko Daniels. She works in AB in Brussels, a pretty known and big concert venue. Yoko, you heard my attempt to get backstage at Lana Del Rey's concert, but unfortunately it didn't work out the way that I planned it to be. But do you see many of those attempts, like me?
Well, I think at every concert there is always somebody who's trying to get in. I've worked, before I did the job I'm doing now, I worked in a ticket shop, so I was at the box office of the night of the concert, so there were a lot of people trying to get in just the way you did.
It was
and I'm glad, I'm glad to hear that it didn't work, because that's the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah, I know.
You're not supposed to let people in like that.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
They did very well. And, well, we try to do the same, actually, because... usually people say, well, we know the singer, or we know the guitarist, or we know the tour manager. And we have a bit of the attitude, okay, if you know them, well, call them and they'll come and get you. The end. So that's a bit our policy. We try to, we certainly won't let people in. And if they really insist, we try to call the tour manager and we double check.
Yeah.
And if they give their okay, then it will be okay. But we will not let anybody in just like that.
Okay, I see. So it was not like a lost chance for me to get in.
Well, actually, you could try, and maybe if somebody had a bad day or was really sick and you were about all the nagging and you were like the 20th person doing so, but not normally.
And sometimes, does it work out?
Well, it better doesn't, because if we let people backstage and the artist gets cranky or say, who's that doing here in my backstage, and but it influences the show, and we try to avoid that. We try to really keep the atmosphere in the backstage.
But have you seen it happening?
Well,
not really.
I'm thinking, actually, I don't think so. No. Sometimes it's more of a question about somebody of the band who has put somebody on a guest list that the singer, for example, doesn't like, or some roadie has put five people on the list and they're all backstage, and it bothers the singer, and then like, who are those people, and get them out of here. But then it's luckily it's not our fault, it's not our responsibility. We can say, well, it was that guy. He said it was okay.
Does it happen a lot that you encounter like diehard fans in front of the venue, like lining up way too early to have the best spot?
Yes, that's something that happens quite often, actually.
Yeah, and do you have rules for that? Like, you can start queuing from 6 a.m. or you can bring your tent, or...
I don't think it's possible to apply any rules. When people want to queue, they'll be there. And you cannot chase them from the pavement. You cannot say, you cannot be here, because it's a public space.
Yeah.
We try to be really nice for the people queuing, because they are the fans. They're also the people who bought the tickets. So, for example, when it's really cold or when it's really rainy, they can wait inside. They cannot go inside the venue behind the entrance, but they can wait in the little hall before the ticket control.
Yeah.
There's also a toilet, for example, so they can go to the toilet, because when they're there all day,
yeah,
it can be a long wait.
Yeah.
Sometimes nature calls, so that's they can go to the toilet in the AB. They don't have to buy a drink or anything like that. They can do that.
That's good. And if we go back in time, around mostly around the 70s, there were a lot of groupies. And the groupies were girls that were such big fans that they managed their ways backstage, and mostly to have sex with band members and live with them on tour. But are groupies still alive nowadays?
Well, we see the groupies from the 70s, we do see them as well, because we sometimes have shows for the, how do you say it, the midi, well, not... I'm not going to say the elderly people, but older artists.
Yeah.
And they're not called groupies anymore, but dedicated fans.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice
They're
award.
Like the older ladies who are also there really early, and they still do that. They still wait all day to see their artists from the 70s. But also the young groupies, it's still a phenomenon that's still alive, really. Yeah. Because I think the rock stardom and the... it still appeals to people, and people still want to be a part of it, and they still want to meet the artists. And
but who gets the groupies in? Like, is it the artist himself that likes go picking some groupies, or?
Well, that sometimes happens. Yeah. For example, we had one band. They played in Holland the day before, and Holland is not that far from Belgium. So I was doing the show that evening, and the tour manager came up to me and said, "Well, we played Rotterdam yesterday, and we might have told some people." Well, not people. We might have told some girls that we're playing Brussels tonight, and well, they might be here. So I don't know what their name is anymore, because it was a heavy night. But if they're pretty and if they're have a Dutch accent, well, let them in.
So sometimes you fix the groupies for the band.
Well, no, he said I could. And that's at that time, there actually were some girls who came over from Rotterdam and who were there. And then the funny thing, a bit later, I was, because you also have to do the settlement with a tour manager the night of the show. I was doing that so that we were talking business. And then the singer of the band all of a sudden came into the production office and he was like, I have to be here. I have to have some rest for now because there are too many girls here. There's too much pressure.
Too many groupies. But I couldn't handle it.
Well, he was wussy then. No, right. Because, well, he... It was his own fault because he caused the problem, but it was a bit of a stage play as well because he really enjoyed it.
Yeah, too much is too much, but still, there's a reason behind everything.
Yeah.
All right. In a bit, I'm gonna list.
America's in rouge.
In a bit, I'm gonna list up the top five of most famous groupies. But first, we're gonna listen to some music, and afterwards, we're gonna have. Also interview with Danish bands about their best backstage story. But first, Paramore with Still Into You. Some groupies have made it that far that they became famous for their reputation. I'm listing up the five most important and most famous of those groupies.
Now,
I can't believe the Queen of the Stone Age is here.
Well, Joshua Homme of Queens of Stone Age is here, and Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters, and John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin.
Love that.
So there you go.
That's a
there could
night.
Be a future husband in this group for you.
I always get along with the band quite well.
Great to see you. Pamela Anderson, everybody.
A typical way for groupies to get famous is by sleeping with musicians, but Pamela Anderson did it the other way around. She used her fame as a Playboy girl and Baywatch actress to end up with some famous rock stars. And to convince the other world that she really did have sex with those stars, she made a couple home videos of their act. Pamela dated Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit and married and divorced both Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee and the long-haired all-summer-long star Kid Rock.
B.B. Buell, our topic will seem to be marriage and intimacy and power struggles. You feel inspired?
I think I was determined to know them and to be part of the persona and the aura. It fascinated me. I was very young when I had any kind of intimacy. My goal from age 12 on was to be with them.
B.B. Buell was a big muse for many rock stars around the 80s, but she might be most known as the mother of actress Liv Tyler. B.B. became pregnant with Steven Tyler, singer of Aerosmith, but she let their daughter Liv believe that Todd Rundgren, another rock star, was her biological father until she was a teenager. Well resists the term groupie and prefers to say that she simply has a lot of rock star boyfriends. Well, she sure has a lot of famous names on her list, like Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, David Bowie, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, Elvis Costello and Iggy Pop, and Rod Stewart. Well, says Rod Stewart is a dangerous man if you're a woman, since he treated women more like ornaments than companions. As for Aerosmith's Steven Tyler, well, says he was a rock and roll knight in shining leopard.
My name is Cynthia Plastercaster. I'm a proud Plastercaster of Chicago. I was a shy, fledgling, virginal, goofy girl that wanted to get laid by cute British boys with long hair and tight pants, but I wasn't experienced or seductive, and the only way I could go about getting the zippers down was had to be in a goofy, funny way.
Cynthia Albatron might be the most bizarre groupie of them all. She's also known as Cynthia Plastercaster, and that's because she made a hobby out of creating plaster replicas of the penises of famous rock stars. The plaster casting hobby began when her art teacher assigned students to make a plaster cast of something solid that could retain its shape. And so she found her way backstage. Her collection's biggest trophy was the one of Jimi Hendrix, which she also was a groupie of, and other rock stars on a groupie list were Wayne Kramer of MC5, Noel Redding, vocalist of Jimi Hendrix Experience, and Frank Zappa. Nowadays, Cynthia lives in her hometown of Chicago and is still an avid artist. And a fun fact, Kiss has paid a tribute to Cynthia and her hobby in their song called Plastercaster.
Immortalized as Sweet Connie in a song by the group Grand Funk Railroad, Connie has been a backstage fixture as long as Jeannie Crane has been alive.
Henley and the Eagles pilot fly the Eagles private plane over to pick me up. On the way to Chattanooga, Henley and I are in the back of the plane getting it on. Out of the blue, I feel another pair of hands on me. And there are only three people on this plane. Who's flying this plane? And Henley goes, don't worry about it. No big deal. It's on autopilot.
Connie Hemsey, also known as Sweet Connie, was a welcoming groupie to any band that passed by her hometown of Little Rock in Arkansas. The country girl would do literally anything to get backstage with the bands, and even the roadies were not a problem for Sweet Connie. Famous conquests of her were Jimmy Page, Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley of Kiss, 3 out of 4 of Fleetwood Mac, all of ZZ Top and Keith Moon of The Who. But Connie's biggest story was about Neil Diamond, who she met while he was on tour. She said, "Who comes into the back lounge? Neil fucking Diamond. Neil looks me up and down and nods his approval. A few minutes later, his manager says he wants to see me in his dressing room, so I knock on the door and there's Neil waiting for me in a blue robe." While other groupies of her time have slowed down, Connie's not tired yet. Now she's almost 60 and Connie can still be found backstage at gigs in Little Rock. What exactly will or will not be happening there is unknown.
Miss Pamela is a former top groupie.
I wanted to just smell them. I wanted to, when Jimmy would come off stage, Jimmy Page, he was dripping wet, and I wanted to peel the shirt off of his dripping wet body and just like press it against my cheek and hang it up and with his velvet suit and oh God.
Number one queen of the groupies is Pamela DeBar. Living in LA, she started dating rock stars when she was 16 and had a big talent for getting the man she wanted. She wears the name of groupie as a badge of honor. According to Pamela, a groupie is no desperate wannabe, but a lucky lady who is able to walk the lines between fandom and friendship, with an undeniable element of sexiness, of course. Frank Zappa was so drawn to her and the groupies that he formed a band with seven of them. They were named the GTOs, Girls Together Outrageously, led by Miss Pamela. Next to Zappa, Miss Pamela also had Jim Morrison of The Doors, Rolling Stone Mick Jagger, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, Keith Moon of The Who, and that's only to name a couple. And what does Pamela nowadays? Well, she sells clothing under the name of Groupie Couture, described as vintage-inspired groupie wear for today's delightful dolls. So, girls, if you want to become a real groupie like one of the above, just buy a t-shirt of the legend herself. Or simply read her memoir, Pamela's memoir, I'm with the band. Female band, a Danish band, a drummer, a bass player and a singer. Simple as that, but a sound as strong as rock. Nelson Can makes it all possible. I'm talking with Signe, bass player of the band. Hi Signe.
Hi.
So tell me, what are, in your opinion, some qualities an artist should really have?
I think a quality that all artists should have is being able to be present on stage and whenever musicians are out meeting their fans and their audiences. Like, to be present, I think, is the most important thing. Then you can do whatever you want, you know. You can be a bad musician, you can be a good musician. If you're present and you have a good energy, I think people will like you no matter what.
All right. And you've played with Nelson Cann on some big festivals before, like Roskilde Festival in Denmark. Is the sex, drugs and rock and roll mentality still alive on places like that?
Sometimes. We don't do drugs in the band. We have a very strict policy about that. But the alcohol and the rock and roll and sometimes the sex, I guess.
Yeah, so it's somehow still alive.
Yeah. I think drugs are pretty uncool. And I think they're getting more and more uncool. But rock and roll is always cool. All
right. And have you witnessed some remarkable things from our artists backstage on like festivals like that?
I've seen a few things. Last month we played a show in Aarhus. Mm-hmm. And we met this pretty famous Danish singer. I'm not going to say her name, but
right.
She was pretty she's pretty big here, and we met her on a tour in Holland actually last mm-hmm. year. And so we've been introduced to her once, but we never thought that we knew her. And we just played a concert and we went to the bar and I turn around and all of a sudden she's standing there. Mm-hmm. And she stole two bottles of booze in the bar.
Oh.
And like, this is a really famous Danish singer and she definitely do not have to steal anything. But I guess she thought it was funny. And then all of a sudden we were outside, like hiding in the bushes, drinking stolen alcohol with a very famous Danish singer.
Nice.
Stupid things like that happen.
All right.
Funny.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool, I guess. And what is your most exciting story that happened to you or the band?
Last year we supported the Black Keys. It's a big American band.
Mm-hmm.
And we were obviously pretty excited about it. After the show, we went out to get some beer. And we had our manager from the UK over to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he came with us out to have beers. And there was this, we went to this really crappy bar because it was cheap and we didn't really have any money. And through the door comes in this Danish rapper who was very famous like 5 or 8 years ago. But he's not really, like, now he's just a name, you know? Mm-hmm. Haven't really made any music for a long time.
Yeah.
And he, like, realizes that we were the support band for the Black Keys mm-hmm. and wants to talk to us. But he is so, coked up that he simply cannot form a sentence. And it was such an embarrassment. And, you know, it was pretty great to have in someone who used to be a really big shot.
Yeah.
Wanting to get to know you and being a complete loser.
Yeah, well, that means you're getting pretty big, probably.
Yeah, the sad side of it.
Right. And
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Many big artists have writers with sometimes really crazy things on those lists, like a lot of booze. Do you girls have writers?
Sometimes. If we know that we can get away with it, we might do it.
All right.
We've had some crazy writers. Right now we don't really have a writer and we don't at all get upset if we don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
We just put allergies and boring stuff on it, really. Yeah.
So you won't make the crew extra difficult by asking special things. You still be pretty nice.
No. I think one of the things bands need to remember is that when you're out, you really want everybody to have like as good as an impression of you as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the more difficult you are, the worse the impression is going to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't be too difficult. Be happy. Appreciate what you get.
Yeah. And if you don't get enough, just steal some more booze, I suppose.
Exactly. Go to the bar, steal the booze.
Right. You're currently working on a first full album, if I'm not mistaken.
You're absolutely right.
Yes. How's it going?
pretty well, actually. We have the first two singles are in the mix right now. Mm-hmm. And the first one will be released in Denmark in October.
Wow. That's kind of pretty soon.
Hopefully the rest of Europe soon after.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm very looking forward to the album.
And, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Wish you lots of luck in the studio.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Meet the Sound Backstage Edition.
And by that, we came to the end of this show. Joke, thank you so much for coming. One more last question. Can you tell me your best backstage story yourself?
Well, I myself am a big fan of Einstürzende Neubaut, and I have a very cool singer called Blixar Bargeld. He's always in a three-piece suit. He's very strict. He can look really evil. Mm-hmm. And I was following up the show, and I came backstage. We have a foosball table there, and when you see your mm-hmm. idol play foosball in his three-piece suit, well, it's a bit demystifying. It was like, don't do that, dude. You're too cool.
You're too cool to play.
But boys will be boys. So when they see a ball, they have to play with it, I guess.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, it's a nice impression of the person who is behind the one on stage.
There is a human behind the man.
Yeah. All right. So that means the ultimate end of the show. So again, thank you for coming. And if you want to re-listen to this show or the backstage stories and even some extra stories, make sure to go to meetthesound.com, something else you can find among the interviews, reviews and live photography on the website are some musical tips. And since this show is over, that means my summer can officially begin. And no better tip for that as LP with Into the Wild.
Long way.